This is it. The legendary live band, Phish, returns to the road this summer. Phish. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Ruoff Music Center. On sale now at livenation.com. Part of the Coors Light Concert Series.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the show. It is Denise Salcedo, and I am joined by Righteous Reg. And today it is Saturday, January 13th, and we are doing an TNA wrestling. I almost did it there. I almost did it,
you Reg. Did.
TNA wrestling. Hard to kill. Damn, we could have a big night to talk about, Reg, because a lot went down here tonight. First and foremost, man, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Denise. It's raining cats and dogs out here in Oakland, so I'm happy to have been inside to have some good wrestling to watch. I thought that this was Impact. TNA Wrestling usually does really good pay-per-views, and I thought that this was a great way to restart the TNA brand.
Oh, man, for sure. I felt like there was a lot that I like thoroughly enjoyed, a lot of really good wrestling. I can't wait to talk about that main event. We had some newsworthy bits coming out of it. For the most part, there's quite a bit to get into here today. I want to start off, though, by shouting out Sheldon Jackson for sending in these 5 DWO memberships. Thank you so much for doing that. That's very kind of you. If any of you want to get your questions, your comments, your reactions, you name it, read here on the stream, you're more than welcome to send in a super chat. Not only does it help you get your thoughts and opinions heard on the stream, but it also helps support myself and Reg here on the stream. So let's get to it, man. Reg, let's just kick things off with like the big portion of all of this. And that was the main event and what followed. So first of all, I want to make sure we give the main event plenty of time to get into, because Moose versus Alex Shelley was one of my favorite matches, Reg, that I've seen this year. I thought that it was one of the best big man, little man matches that we have seen in a while. I thought it was perfectly freaking worked, man. I loved the psychology in this. Alex Shelley going and attacking the left arm of Moose throughout this entire match. Moose eventually hitting that spear with his right side and getting the victory. That was a massive moment. Before we get into what happened afterwards, what did you think of this matchup?
I thought it was a really smartly worked main event, Denise. It might have been, I was thinking about it, this might be my favorite Moose match that I've ever seen. I thought that the way that he controlled a lot of the match, just being a big man, overwhelming Alex Shelley, was really awesome. But Alex Shelley just being a veteran, taking over his arm, putting him in wild submissions, getting him in different positions. I love the work that they did on the outside. Moose was slamming him. Alex Shelley's hitting shell shock. They were throwing everything at each other. The one point where they start chopping and lariat each other and they're just striking in the ring, really strong work. Denise, I myself, very, very, very shocked at this result. I think we made predictions a couple days ago, and I don't think either one of us chose Moose as winning this match. So when it happened, I was like, whoa, wow, this is different than I expected. How did you feel at the result?
Oh, man, I was so freaking happy, actually. Like, here's the thing. I love Alex Shelley. I think he's been a phenomenal champion. Of course, him becoming champion and finally getting his due was like this big, exciting moment, right? But I just think that Moose has been doing a phenomenal job. And I feel like he has sort of gone a little bit under the radar. There's not always, I feel like, a lot of people talking about the work that Moose is doing. And I feel like every time I tune in to watch these, TNA Wrestling, Impact Wrestling pay-per-views, that Moose is always somebody that I thoroughly enjoy in his matches. Because when you even mentioned right now that this match was one of your favorites, and I was thinking, like, I've enjoyed so many Moose matches, but this one was really definitely next level. And there was just so much that I loved about this. And I want to shout out what they did here with Alex Shelley, because so many times with, especially when you have such a size difference with what you had with Alex Shelley and with Moose, sometimes, you know, the way that a match has worked can really depends on whether or not something is believable. And I felt that the way that Alex Shelley was like out wrestling Moose, the way that he was trying to bring him down, they really made him into a smart champion, to like the point where he wasn't even like, I feel like, especially because he's a babyface champion, you always like your babyface champions, they always want to you know, get the win in the center of the ring, right? But because Moose was such a big imposing figure, Alex Shelley was like, damn, I just want to retain my championship, right, however, you know, however possible. So like there was one point where like he was willing to win via almost a count out situation. Right. And so it was all of these little storytelling bits that we saw in this matchup that I really freaking enjoyed. So shout out to them. I'm excited to see what Moose does as champion now. Getting to see him as TNA World Champion is kind of cool, considering that he had brought back the TNA World Championship before a couple years ago. And now look at him. He's the first champion of this new era of TNA. So here's the thing, though. After this, we got a pretty interesting moment here, and that was the debut of Nick Nemeth, formerly known as Dolph Ziggler in WWE. Nick Nemeth came in, attacked Moose from behind. Well, came from behind, excuse me. And then they had the confrontation, and then there was the, you know, the fighting and all of this. He then goes into the crowd. He's like, literally looks like a rock show. He's in the crowd. He's living it up. He rips up the t-shirt. He's got TNA wrestling underneath there. It felt like a big moment. What did you think of the reveal of the person, the big signing into TNA wrestling being Nick Nemeth?
Not surprised, because I predicted this on a couple shows. I think I predicted this earlier on Grapsody. I had a feeling when he debuted on New Japan, I was like, that leads me kind of to believe, to think that he was going to also debut in TNA for some reason. I don't know why. Something just in the back of my brain clicked. It's like, he's probably going to show up. So him showing up here was not a surprise to me. I think it's a pretty good move for TNA wrestling with the new regime and everything going on. I'm excited to see him out of that system, Denise. We talked about it a little bit. He's been a WWE wrestler. That's all we ever known of this guy. So seeing him here, seeing him with all these different opponents, X Division opponents in these different situations, I think it's going to be pretty exciting. I don't know if Scott D'Amore should have hyped it up like he did. But, you know, we all, I mean, if you're going to go hard for your company, Denise, you got to be like, it's going to be the next level, the craziest thing you ever seen, right?
Right, exactly. So I think that was my thing that kind of threw me off in this, where I wasn't going to expect Nick Nemeth, because there was two things. One, he had said that this was going to be like one of the biggest signings that TNA has ever had. Now, think about this. TNA has had Kurt Angle. They've even had, you know, Sting. They've had Hulk Hogan. No matter how you feel about him, he's still a big freaking name. So I was thinking like, oh my God, if he's going out there and saying this, this is going to be some crazy freaking name. And there I go pitching Okada and Reg freaking shoots me down. Then I started thinking, okay, maybe it is going to be AJ Styles. And then nope, that doesn't happen either. So I actually think that this would have hit harder and been a lot more effective had they not made the announcement.
Like if he didn't say anything at all.
They didn't say anything. They just had the show that they had, and then they had Nick Nemeth come out and have his big hoorah moment. I think that would have been a lot stronger than going the way that they did, which I get it. They want to sell tickets. Of course, that's what you want to do. But I think it would have been a lot better had they not made this announcement.
I especially think, Denise, with what happened earlier in the show with Ash the Elegance debuting.
Ash by Elegance debuting,
because people thought that was it. So there was you know what I mean? So there was a kind of like, oh, and then when Nick Nemeth showed up, it was like, okay, like, yeah, I think they could have handled it different. If they would have just said, watch the show, some crazy shit's going to happen, probably would have hit a little bit harder than what they did.
Right, exactly. So that was the thing too. So we're going to get into that. We also had the debut of Ash by Elegance. And for those of you who are like, who the hell is Ash by Elegance? Well, that is the former Dana Brooke. And you know what, Reg? You and I, we were texting back and forth on this, because they kind of did, her reveal was kind of cool, because they had her coming out of this car and they shot like her feet. They showed her from the back. She had like this big white blonde wig, sparkly little outfit. And that's all we got to see. So I put out the picture on Twitter and everybody was like, I have no idea who it is. And then the person that a lot of people were naming were Dana Brooke. But I looked at it and I'm like, I don't know, man. She looks really tall and really, really skinny in this. Like, I don't know if it's Dana. Who is it? Like, who is this specific person? Because she just looked really, really tall. And I've interviewed Dana and she's like almost my height, maybe like an inch or two. So what? I was like, who? Yeah, I know, right? So I was like, who the hell can that be? Because she just looked extra tall in the video. And so, anyways, It ended up being Dana Brooke, Ash by Elegance. And I thought she freaking looked phenomenal, by the way. And here's the thing about her coming in, though, is that I think people thought for a split second, like you said, that she was the big reveal, the big name. And I thought, nah, like there's no way. But then I was like, maybe it is. And we had gone so far. We got to the point of the main event when Moose won, where I thought, damn, I think that's it.
Yeah, so I think that was, I don't want to say people let out a collective groan, but people were kind of like, maybe a little bit let down by the whole thing. And I don't think Nick Namath was enough to save it, especially with him touting as the one of the biggest signings of all time. I think they're both going to be great for the company, because I think that they just need a different environment to excel in. But leading them off like that wasn't good for either one of them.
Right. And I'm so happy for Dana Brooke, by the way. I'm so excited for her, because I actually posted this clip on Twitter from one of my last interviews that I had with her from, when was it? God, it might have been WrestleMania season or Royal Rumble season last year. I forgot if it was Royal Rumble or WrestleMania. No, you know what? It was the Royal Rumble. Yeah, it was the Royal Rumble. And I had done an interview with her, and I had asked her a question about if she feels whether or not she has been able to show the fans everything that she's capable of. And she cut this very like passionate promo, not a promo, but she basically told me, like, I feel like people kind of dismiss me and I can go with a lot of people. Mm. And she said that she wants to show the fans that she can work with anyone and that she can go down any path. And so I almost see happening to Dana Brooke in TNA what happened with Trinity, where we literally saw Trinity go from having a couple matches here and there in WWE. Eventually she won the tag team titles. Cool. But for the most part, like, she wasn't out there having 20-minute matches or anything like that. And we'll talk more about Trinity, you know, later on today, but just seeing the changes that we've seen in Trinity and just the evolution of her in this short period of time in TNA wrestling, who knows? Like, maybe we can see that for Dana Brooke.
Yeah, I think women in that position, kind of ones that been in WWE in these same positions as Trinity and Ash by Elegance, I think they look at Trinity as a guiding light. They like see her over here cooking in Impact, TNA. She's the she was a Knockouts champion. She was having this big run, getting main events and stuff. And they're probably thinking the same thing. I want to go do that. I want to get a time to shine, spread my wings, and really show these people what I get to do. Because sometimes you get in a position in WWE where you just don't have the opportunity because of time. It might not be, you could be the best worker back there, but just in these situations and what happens, you don't get to really show what you got to do. And I think she got a few opportunities when she was doing like main event and these things where the gloves are kind of off a little bit, but I think in Impact TNA, she's really going to be able to shine. I'm just going to say Impact. You guys know what I'm talking about, because I'm tired of this.
Yeah, might as well. You know, and I feel like it's my fault, because you were saying TNA and then I messed you up on the last show. And now I messed things up for you. But we got a couple of super chats to get into. Thank you so much to everybody who's sending these in. All right. We got Crazy 101 who says TNA hard to kill. AEW Collision Battle of Bouts all lit. Not only that, there was also a GCW show. There was a New Japan show that had some big news that came out of that as well, with Jack Perry coming in and ripping up an AEW contract. He's got this big scruffy beard. He's what do you call it? He's got a armband on his arm that's a scapegoat. I mean, I'm kind of excited for him.
Denise, does ripping up a contract mean that contract don't exist anymore?
Well,
is that how that works?
Well, I mean, sorry, did I just call you Will?
Two times too.
Sorry. This show is cursed. I didn't.
Come on.
Not once, but twice I called times. You. I'm done.
Oh my God.
You're out here calling freaking TNA Wrestling Impact. I'm out here calling you Will. What are we doing?
Gone. He's been gone for a while too, Denise. You guys don't even have a regular show. We have a regular show.
No, it threw me off because we did the interview last time, like a week ago, 2 weeks ago. So in my brain, it's still fresh.
Okay, all right.
All right, what was the question? All right, the question was...
if you rip up a contract, does that mean that the contract doesn't exist anymore?
No, of course not. Contracts get like... put into files and stuff.
So it's just like a symbolic thing of like, I'm not that Jack Perry anymore.
It's symbolic. I think that they want us to believe that he's done with AEW and that he's gone off and he was maybe done with being a scapegoat. And now he's in New Japan. That's like the angle that they're running.
Okay.
Yeah. And I like it, though. I think it gives him this much needed edge, because if you remember before all of the shenanigans went down with Jack Perry and CM Punk and everything, he was going for this new character. Right. And it was kind of flopping, if you remember. A lot of people weren't digging the promo work.
We didn't really like it that much.
Right. It wasn't that popular. And I feel like if he goes and he does New Japan for a bit, you know, is off on excursion and gets to maybe gain a little bit of an edge there, I think that will benefit him once he goes back to AEW.
Good for him. I'm excited to see if he can go and make a little name before coming back to AEW New Japan. I think it's a good idea for him.
I agree. Dan V900 says, Moose winning has genuinely killed my interest in TNA. What? He was an ice cold challenger who needed help beating Rhino. How don't you do Shelly, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin for the title and just jump to setting up Moose and Nick Nemeth? Look, honestly, I'm a big fan of Moose. I think that his work speaks for himself. And I think that this was a cool opportunity and a cool moment. And I don't know how long he's going to be champion for. They're clearly setting up Moose and Nick Nemeth. That's clearly happening. It's just a matter of when. So he may be a transitional champion here. I'm not entirely too sure. I did think that Alex Shelley was going to be a transitional champion for a second. I thought that was going to happen. I'm glad it didn't. So it might happen to Moose. I don't know. What do you think?
I see Nick Nemeth winning this championship either way. Like, he was going to beat Shelley or Moose at this point. If they signed him, I'm like, it's a matter of time before they make him world champion. So it really depends on if you like Nick Nemeth or not, because he's the one that's going to be the champ. I think transitioning from Moose, or from Alex Shelley to Moose, makes more sense if Nemeth is the next challenger, because you don't want to do a babyface Shelley against what you want to be a babyface Nemeth coming in. So this makes the most sense. But there is a kind of stigma or something around the name of Moose, Denise, that like on the time, well, I went on the timeline and people were not happy about this win. So.
Really? Why was that?
There's a thing. People don't like Moose.
What did I miss? Did I miss something?
I mean,
yeah. Okay. All right. I read the room. Crazy 101 says, thank God it was not Okada, like Denise said. All right. First of all, that was not totally crazy. Okay. Can I just say, I don't think it was crazy.
What do you mean that's not totally crazy?
No, because I have reasons to back this up, man. All right. I ain't going to come out here and look like no freaking goof. All right. First and foremost, Scott D'Amore had said that this was going to be one of the biggest signings ever for TNA.
And okay? You see what he was talking about.
What do you mean?
Nick Nemeth was here, not Okada.
Right. Hold on. So he said the biggest signing in TNA. Then he said worlds were going to collide. What world is collide? I mean, yeah, I guess he did do the appearance with New Japan as well. But anyways, he said worlds were going to collide. Then there's also the thing about I was just talking to Kushida. We were talking about that dual contract situation. That's another reason. I've recently heard, by the way, that the yen has gone down in Japan. So I thought, man, maybe this is an opportunity to get a dual contract someplace. He doesn't have to come out every single week. He can come out and work like 4 times a year, and that would be pretty freaking cool. All right. So there you go. I had 4 reasons here to believe that could have been an opportunity. 4. Reg,
the yen went down is the craziest excuse I think I've ever heard.
No, it's not. I don't think so. No.
The yen went down, Denise. So you think he's good? How far did it go down to sign a damn TNA contract? Okay, Denise.
No, but I'm saying, like, let's say he would have. I'm not saying he would have been on every week. He could have done 4 shows a year, and that would have been pretty freaking cool. Like, there was ways to do this.
Whatever. Denise, I want to ask you a question.
You need to have the vision.
I don't have the vision at all. Coming into the show, I wanted to ask you a question. They switched to TNA. Did it feel any different at all?
I would say yes, it did. Because I thought that the crowd was like, they were a really good crowd. I'm going to say that because they went out there and they were hot for everything. There was one match that I didn't think was that great. Actually, no, that's not true. There was one match that I thought was okay, but they kind of made it into something even more so through the crowd reaction. And we saw it the entire night. Like, there was not one point, name one point of the show, Reg, where the crowd was dead.
Yeah, the crowd was hot. And we remember we just talked about Las Vegas' crowd. And they were in Las Vegas.
Exactly. We were shitting on the Las Vegas crowd that me and you were part of, by the way. So we're technically also shitting on ourselves. But but you know what I mean? Like they were a hot crowd.
They were pretty
I think
hot.
That the passion was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I understand. Like I thought maybe some kind of feel like the feeling of impact, I guess, because they were. I still don't really understand what they were trying to accomplish by switching over, because I thought that they were in a good position and a hot product in their own space already. So it just kind of feels like they're continuing what they were doing and they just changed the name. I guess that was the point.
I see. 9V100 says Shelly Nemeth would have been great for the title. Damn. So a lot of people don't seem to be as stoked about Moose being champion as I was. So damn. Mm. Alexander Fitzgerald says it's so beautiful to see wrestling thriving on a Saturday night. AEW, TNA, and New Japan Pro Wrestling all being talked about and watched tonight. I'm happy to see. Sorry, I've been trying to hold in a sneeze through this whole super chat. Could you tell? No. I shouldn't have said anything. I scared it away. I was like, it's coming. It's coming. All right, I'm going to start from the beginning. Alexander Fitzgerald says it's so beautiful to see wrestling thriving on a Saturday night. AEW, TNA, and New Japan Pro Wrestling are being talked about and watched tonight. I'm happy to see Nick without the WWE handcuffs now. Honestly, Alexander Fitzgerald out here bringing some good points.
Yeah, I mean, with how much wrestling is going on, it's great to see everybody talk about it positively, I think is great. And Nick Nemeth is going to be an experiment, I think, Denise. Like, is he going to be in cruise control over here because he's already had the long wrestling career? Or is he coming to prove something? Guess we'll really see. I don't know.
I think that I'm going to go with the latter option there, Reg. I think that when you are – here's the thing. This is the land that I see it. Let's say you, Righteous Reg, you just came out of WWE after being there for a long time, and people have only seen one version of you. And if you believe that there's something more in you, then wouldn't you want to prove your value? Because you want to prove your value where it wasn't seen someplace. And then on top of that, if you're going to come into New Japan or TNA and make all of these big appearances, you don't want to feel like you're a flop. You don't want to feel that way. So my assumption is that he's going to go out there and, you know, work his butt off to prove people wrong or prove whatever he needs to prove that, or if he feels he needs to prove something, I would imagine he does.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. I think having the New Japan thing mixed in there brings it different, because you can't go in cruise control at New Japan. They'll beat your ass. And I don't think he would. He knows the history and how important New Japan is to wrestling history. I wouldn't think he would do that. I'm excited to see him.
Yeah, I agree. And we were talking about this when we talked about him coming into Wrestle Kingdom. It's more so of a wait and see game and see how things are going to be. But even just from like this little portion where he went into the crowd and ripped open his shirt and was like freaking like he was like a rock star. It felt pretty cool. Like that shot that I screenshotted of him. He's like, yeah, like really, really like ripping into it, looking like the Hulk. I mean, that was pretty cool. That was awesome. So good for him. I'm excited to see what he does. Jared says Ash by Elegance sounds like a drag queen name. I'm not up to date with the cool names. I think Ash by Elegance sounds more like a perfume.
It does. Yeah, it's like Ash by Elegance. What is that? I guess it's different. Like, it's way different than any other wrestling name, but like, what?
Yeah, I like it, though. Although they kept calling her the wrong name. They kept calling her Ash by Excellence on commentary twice.
That's what happens when you get a new name.
Yeah, Ash by Elegance. I like it, though. It sounds like a perfume. Mr. Best in the World 5 says, Denise, are you going to AEW Revolution? Yes, I am, by the way. I'm excited. Reg, I know you were a little concerned for me for a second going to North Carolina, but I've been told that I'll be all right. So
sweet.
So I guess I'll be all right.
I think you'll be all right. Everything will be fine. You don't hang out in crazy places. You go right from where you need to be to the next place that you need to be. So
great, Reg. Tell everybody I'm boring.
I mean, it is what it is. They've watched the show. They know what time it is.
That's true. I remember this one time. Where was it at? God, I think it might have been, was it Minnesota, Minneapolis? Minneapolis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was Minneapolis. I forgot what the hell I was there for, but I was there for AEW for something. And it was funny because I ran into Stephanie Chase. And do you know Stephanie? Stephanie Chase?
I think, man, I don't know.
It was funny because I ran into her and she was like, oh, what are you going to do? And I was like, oh, I'm going to go to my hotel and I'm going to do blah, 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 blah. So whatever, right? She asked me like if I wanted to do something and I was like, oh, no, I'm okay. I'm going to go work and blah, blah, blah. So the next day we caught up and she told me all of the exciting things that she did. And I was like, damn, I went home and that was the day that Taylor Swift released the 10-minute the 10-minute video of All Too Well. So I went home to go watch a Taylor Swift video and and do my little videos. And I thought to myself, God damn, I'm a grandma. And she told me all the great things she did. And I was like, damn, I'm boring.
Yeah, you could be in these spaces and these things, Denise, but you don't want to.
She went to like a, who was singing? Someone from AEW was doing some sort of concert.
Probably Max Caster.
Yes, Max Caster. Thank you so much. That's what she was going to. And she had invited me to that. And I was like, oh, no, it's okay. So there you go.
Because you don't be in circles like that. But you could if you wanted to be, Denise. You're on all the guest lists.
I remember when Will forced me to go to Wally Mania.
And you were there. That's funny. What was Denise doing at Wally Mania? She shouldn't be here.
I was forced to go by Will because he said to me, Denise, there are people here that believe that you would not come. And Will made me feel bad because he was like, you know, there's people that think you're stuck up because you don't go to parties.
That's not what it is. You just and don't I was be outside like that.
All right, Will, well, I'm going to prove you and I'm going to prove everybody wrong and I'm going to go to Wally Mania.
You went and you didn't talk to anybody, sat in a corner like a little weirdo.
I did talk to people.
Who'd you talk to?
You.
Exactly. Will, look, you sat in the corner like a weirdo. You know us already.
I don't mingle.
John Rossap. Yeah.
I don't mingle. Okay. You have to come up to me. I will not go up to you. Okay. Why that's the rule.
Why did Will Washington guilt you into going? Like, you know, that's not a space you would be existing in.
I know. Isn't that messed up? Making a friend go out of their comfort zone.
He would. That jerk.
Crazy 101 says, Denise, you sound like a crazy person.
You do.
I know. And this is coming from someone whose username is Crazy101.
Crazy 101. Yeah, exactly. You sound just like me is what Crazy 101 is saying.
Alrighty. Nope, I do not mingle. Anyways. We need to get to the rest of the show because there was
we only talk about one match.
I know. Let's get into Jordynne Grace and Trinity. Let's talk about that because that was for the TNA Knockouts World Championship. And we got Jordynne Grace won this match, which I think a lot of people were expecting because Trinity, it looks like she may be on her way out. Do you think that she is on her way out?
It's looking like it coming off of this, Denise. There's a couple of videos posted of after the match of people in the building, and it looks like she's given like the thanks, guys. See you later. Won't be coming back. So I probably would expect to see her in the Royal Rumble at minimum here this month.
Yeah, I think so, too. And you know what? Good for her. She went out. She thought that she was going to be done with wrestling at one point. She ended up taking a risk. She went with TNA Wrestling. She risked not only that, a lot of people, you know, there's people that are like, oh, you go from WWE to TNA Wrestling. You know, there's people that are going to make fun of you. And I'm not going to lie. I saw those comments. They were on my YouTube channel. I was seeing comments of people making fun of her for that decision. And she went out there and she proved herself. Mm-hmm. She really, really did. And this match, I think, was proof of that. My favorite thing of this match was that it ended up going, I think it was 14 minutes and 30 seconds here, according to Wikipedia. 14 minutes and 30 seconds. But this entire match was worked very nicely. She did so much. I feel like this was just proof of her overall growth that she's had in TNA Wrestling from like where she started and where she was at by the end of it. Like you literally saw the growth in her through confidence, through in-ring skill. I feel like I saw more from Trinity as a wrestler here than I ever did before.
Totally. This was, she's been putting in, it was like jumping into the fire pretty much, Denise, like coming off of what happened with WWE, her and Mercedes leaving. There was a stigma around what they did. She came and just showed that, no, I'm a great wrestler. You guys aren't going to sleep on me and put me into this box. You guys think I'm just this dancer or whoever, valet or whatever. No, I can really go. And her getting the Impact title, and I think being in this division, Denise, with these killers in this Knockouts division threw her right into the fire. And she showed every time that she could keep up. And I think this match was a great way to kind of stamp it off because Jordynne Grace is an MVP of this division. If you want to see if somebody can go, put him in the ring with Jordynne Grace. And I think this was one of those matches. Jordynne Grace was hitting her with all the power spots, trying to kill her. Trinity just was graceful, looking great, doing cool things in the match. This was a really fun knockouts title match, a main event style match. And seeing Trinity get this shine, get these flowers with her friends in the building, apparently, I think it's really awesome.
They look super funny too, by the way. The picture of Bailey and Mercedes all out there with the little black hoods and the little sunglasses. I'm like, they look like they're about to like rob a bank or something. They do.
Couple of bank robbers.
I know, they're out there like looking hidden and stuff. It was pretty funny, actually. Mm-hmm. But there you go. I'm really excited to see Trinity, see what she's going to do next. I think that this was definitely a good stop in her, you know, her wrestling career, her wrestling journey.
And her husband's over there too. Like, don't forget, like, who doesn't want to be with their significant other, you know?
Of course, of course. All right, so I'm going to work my way backwards since I don't know how that happened, but I'm just going to work my way backwards. All right. So four-way for the tag team, for the tag team titles, ABC, the Rascals, we had Laredo Kid end up replacing Trent Seven, who was supposed to be teaming with Mike Bailey. And then we also had the Grizzled Young Veterans. What did you think of this matchup? And then we did see ABC retain their championships.
Spot Foo. Thank God for Spot Foo. I thought everybody looked great in this match, Denise. Specifically, the Grizzled Young Vets. I almost thought they could win in this position. They look so daunting and bigger than everybody. It's like, yo, these are some big-ass dudes. They look, their strikes are great. Their taunts, everything about them looked like a big main event tag team. I almost thought they could get the victory here. ABC has been on a run. They were one of the best tag teams of the whole year last year, so I was happy to see them get the victory. The way that they put together their tag team moves, the way that they're coordinated. At one point, Ace Austin missed on a spot, but he still hit it, and he's like, my fault. The way that they communicated together, I think, is very, very strong, and one of the reasons why they continue to be the Impact Tag Team Champions. The rest of the teams look great, too. The Rascals are awesome. They also, the way that they put together spots and coordinate and everything so fast, it's just like, yo, this is really dope. And, of course, Laredo Kid replacing Trent Seven, I thought was awesome. Mike Bailey's one of the MVPs of the whole Impact Wrestling division. It's really cool to see. I thought this match was awesome. This shows, like, this is TNA. The spirit of TNA existed because of matches like this. Thought this was the right victor. And I'm happy to see more of Grizzled Young Vets here because I think that they're really on their way.
Yeah, it's kind of trippy because the last time that I was watching them, they were on NXT. So it's like, you know, trying to get used to them like in a different place. It's so like, like it's so mind blowing sometimes. But I do want to take a second, though, and shout out Ace Austin and Chris Bay. I think they are a marvelous tag team together. Okay. They do really good work. And I mean, all of these teams do, of course, with Mike Bailey and Laredo Kid, they were thrown together last minute. But regardless, all the other teams, I think, come together very nicely. I was a big fan of the last couple of minutes of this match. I think that the start was a little bit too slow for me, but the last couple of minutes, it was just like boom, boom, boom. Like, I can't even tell you what every guy did here because they were just freaking coming at here. There were a couple of missed moments, just a couple of little slip ups here and there, probably like three in this match, but they ended up like patching it up and making up for it in the last couple of minutes. I thought that it was some really solid work towards the end. We have a super chat here from Sheldon Jackson who says, Denise, come get your favorite artist, Taylor Swift, swag, surfing, no rhythm. This feels like a personal attack on the culture, shaking my damn head. What did I miss? I heard she was dancing at the game, but I was getting ready for the show, so I didn't see.
She doesn't have any rhythm. You know that. That's not a surprise.
Hey, Reg, I will drive my ass to Oakland right now. Drive my ass to
Oakland. So you can high-five me and say you agree? No.
And take you out. Take you out. And then I'm going to go drive to Sheldon's house.
Listen, that's not her strong suit. We all know that about Taylor Swift.
It doesn't matter, okay?
Like, it doesn't matter. She's the richest, greatest in the world. But rhythm, last thing she has.
Reg, my nostrils are flaring right now, all right? I'm going to drive to your house. I'm going to drive to Sheldon's house. And time for some slobber knocking here, man. You can say
Denise has bad blood.
Look, my heart rate went up. Look, my heart rate went up, guys. Like, I'm literally, heart rate went up to 83 beats per minute. My resting heart rate is 69. I'm at an 83 right now. All right. Josh Alexander defeated Alex Hammerstone. So we need to talk about this one because this was a matchup that I hadn't seen Alex Hammerstone wrestle in a very long time. I only probably saw him wrestle like maybe once or twice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like I had not been too familiar with Alex Hammerstone. And so during this match going into it, I was thinking, all right, this is going to be a pretty big opportunity for him. He is in a match with Josh Alexander. Okay. You cannot have a bad match with Josh Alexander. If you have a bad match with Josh Alexander, my friend, you're the problem. Yeah. All right. So there was a big test going into this. Now, this match, I thought two things that I really loved about it. Well, a couple, but the first thing is that I thought that the crowd really, really made this match even a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Like from the very beginning, because for the most part, like the beginning of the match was all Josh Alexander. Yeah. It really wasn't until towards the middle, towards the end, that we kind of started to see a little bit more of Alex Hammerstone. Like I felt like the first couple of minutes of this match, I'm like, I haven't really seen anything yet from Alex Hammerstone to make me say, oh, I'm a fan. But as we continued to progress in the match, I started going, huh, all right, now I get why people were talking about him. But that was the one thing that I did like, that the crowd was through and through the entire time. The other thing that I liked was, of course, Josh Alexander just going out there and really just like making sure that this guy's best strengths were highlighted. There was a moment that was so freaking random and probably not even like a big deal, but to me, it was actually a really good spot where Josh Alexander was hitting Alex Hammerstone with a couple of forearms. And then there was one that he hit him with, but instead Alex Hammerstone put his chin down and held his arm there and like kind of wedged it in between his neck and his chest. And I thought, shit, I don't think I've ever seen that before. Then there was a really funny part. I don't know if you caught this, Reg, but there was a part where, cause he kept attacking, Alex Hammerstone's leg. There was a part where Alex Hammerstone, out of, he's like running the ropes and then he stops midway and he goes, oh, and he goes down. Yeah. He acted like he got shot or something. It was hilarious. That popped me. That popped me so much because I was like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone do that before. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of it?
I think Hammerstone had a really good showing. We talked about it the other day. This was kind of like a make or break moment for him. But it's like, you gotta just shit the bed if you're gonna have a bad match with Josh Alexander. That's like the easiest match in the world. I love that they pumped this up as that too. They're like, look, Josh Alexander's our ace around here. He's the god. If you could go toe-to-toe with him, then you can make it. I thought the crowd could feel that. Hammerstone's kind of a West Coast wrestler, so he's known over here, so it actually made sense that the crowd was so into this. Josh Alexander, I think, leading the match, being a veteran, using his instincts to get Hammerstone over, and like you said, you get into his strengths and doing everything, it's the perfect position to be in. Josh Alexander, I think, is going to have to be back in the main event scene fighting for that TNA championship real soon, because he's so good. They can't have him just lingering around in any positions. He has to be a top guy very soon.
Yeah, we got a super chat here from Sheldon Jackson saying, Denise, I'm waiting because he won't do nothing. She already disrespected the culture with her unseasoned rendition of September, and now the swag surf with her no rhythm having self. I want all the smoke 10 toes down. Wait, no, what does 10 toes down mean?
It means you standing on business.
Wait, what is the swag surf?
It's like dance.
How does it go?
No.
Oh, is it like a ridiculous dance or like a... I'm not in the TikTok world. I'm not.
It's like, if you're in a big crowd, people do it together. Usually a bunch of black people will do it together. So Taylor Swift probably shouldn't be doing it, is all it is. Again, she has no rhythm. She can't get it together. Why are you mad at me? Be mad at her. She's the one without the rhythm.
Reg, I hope you know you're getting the death stare right now. This is the death stare. You are getting the death stare.
Why are you booing me? I'm right.
Hey, you know what? Taylor Swift is amazing and everything she does is fabulous, all right? Including all of her dance moves. All right. I don't care what anyone says.
You know them dance moves are terrible. Keep playing the guitar.
She's fabulous. Okay. Like, look at her. She could do anything, and you're just like, wow, that's fabulous.
Anything, that's a stretch.
Mm-hmm. Anything. Anything.
She could do a lot.
Anything. She can do everything, Reg. She's queen. All right. So a good showcase for Alex Hammerstone. You think he'll be signed by TNA if he isn't already?
Yeah, if he isn't already, I definitely could see him signed. They need this has been kind of their longstanding thing. Their heavyweight division always needs new contenders because they get to this position where somebody gets over and then they leave. They always have a bunch of empty vacant spots, and they need another guy like Hammerstone that could be in the main event, that's been in the world title matches and been world champion, just to kind of get some more bodies in here.
Nice. I agree with that. I think they can definitely do a lot of good stuff and a good use for Alex Hammerstone on the roster. Now I got to get into this match that I really enjoyed. Reg, I was like, yes, I'm so excited for this match. It was a three-way for the TNA X Division Championship. Chris Sabin defending against Alejo Del Vikingo and Kushida and retaining. Dude, this was so much fun, man. So much fun. How'd you feel about this match?
Vikingo, Vikingo, Vikingo. Every time he does it, Denise, we're all in amazement. We're all surprised. Before this match, they announced that they're in a partnership with AAA, but it's like, aren't you guys always in a partnership?
They've been working together for the last 20 years. And when they said, I'm like, I guess the news is they're expanding it. I don't know what that means. They didn't really explain it that well.
No, they were just like, we're working together. And we're all like, yeah, you have been. Why are you talking about this?
That's what I thought. I was like, am I misunderstanding something? Did I miss an announcement? Like, what's going on here?
I don't know. But whatever. If we get more action like this,
God. You know what this was, Reg? We've been dating for a while and we're going to get married and we want everyone to know.
Like, it's been 20 years. Are you going to put a ring on it, big dog? Yeah, we finally put a ring on it. It's been 20 years. We're like, I thought you've been dating this whole time. You guys got kids together.
He didn't finally put a ring on it.
Shout out to them. But yeah, I thought this match was awesome. Vikingo hitting the in the ring outside 450. Ridiculous. Kushida being an established member on this roster, I think is cool. All these spots, Vikingo hitting his standing on the rope Dragon Rana.
I don't even know what to call it. I feel like I have to watch that 10 times to even see how he did it. That's my favorite thing about Vikingo. I like to rewind when I can. I couldn't rewind today, but when I do can rewind, I'll rewind to see how he moved his body to get to the first thing and how he moved his body to get to the second thing. Cause it's like, it's a sign. It's like, you got to slow that shit down. I want to see how he does it.
Yeah. It's magic. It's Lucha Libre on steroids. I don't know how it happens and how he does it, but yeah, if you want to just have a great X Division match and a showcase, and you know the winner's going to be Chris Sabin, you want to get a piece in like this just to throw it all out there. But yeah, I wasn't super surprised at Chris Sabin getting the victory here. 10-time X Division champion going into the new year. I think having him as the champion and whoever he loses it to is going to get a big push. So I think this is a really dope match.
Yeah, it definitely was. Good spots. Loved it. Chris Sabin's awesome. Kushida's awesome. Vikingo's awesome. Everything was awesome. Happy thumbs up there. All right, let's go ahead and get into the TNA Knockouts World Tag Team Championship match. This was Havoc and Rosemary defeating Killer Kelly and Masha Slamovich. I think this was probably the match that I was probably not as invested in for me personally, but how'd you feel about it?
This one, I was wondering coming into this why they didn't have a Knockouts Tag Team Championship match on the show at all. It didn't make sense. It's like, you guys got this big show. You're starting out with TNA. Why wouldn't you have your Knockouts Tag Team Champions? It was a surprise to all of us. They had them go out there and face the Decay. I love MK Ultra so much. I was upset at the decision here, but I understand you kind of want to have some new champions going in, but I think this probably could have won that you could have kept as the same, because I think they have so much more that they could do together. But also, you can split them up and have them as singles wrestlers. So I don't know. It all depends. This is a fine, serviceable match. Only a couple minutes, you know?
Right, exactly. So this next one that we got to get into, this one started off as a particular match, but ended in DQ, and then we ended up getting a totally different type of matchup. But this was a PCO. So it's supposed to be PCO versus Dirty Dango, okay? And I'll be honest, at first I was like, I don't know how I feel about this matchup. Like, even when I saw it announced, I was like, okay, I guess it'll be good, whatever. So I'm kind of glad that it ended in DQ and that it turned into a six-man tag, because it ended up being something sort of entertaining and super random at the same time. So it was PCO, Rhino, and Jake something defeating Dirty Dango. And then they also had Kozlov and Alpha Bravo there. So this was something that I enjoyed because it was freaking random.
Denise.
It was random, Reg. But I had a good time with it. And freaking PCO, man, this guy, I swear to God, Reg, he can do something like even just as simple as a senton, right? We've seen a million guys do a senton. I see PCO do it and I'm like, ah, you know, because I'm so like nervous. But I love PCO, man. And the entrance was so cool. I was into this. I'm sorry. Denise. Did you hate this?
Yeah, this is the only match I was like, they could have kept this one. Like,
no,
what
it was Sam Hill's going on here. It was fun.
No interest in it at all. I like PCO when he does wild shit. If it's not PCO wild shit, they're going to explode him with the car thing or like hit him with the brick. I'm not really that interested in it. Vladimir Kozlov was there. Yeah, I'm like, what is this guy doing here? Santino comes out at one point. I'm like, we're back in 2008 WWE, and I'm out.
You were like, I'm done. Yeah, I got your text, by the way. I got your text. And I was like, I don't know what he's talking about.
I thought I just said that out loud. I don't know. I texted that to you.
You forgot you texted that to me?
I thought that was just a joke I made to myself.
No, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, I'm having a great time with this match. Oh.
Yeah, you would be. You like those freak show matches, Denise.
I do. I do like them freak show matches, man. We got to get a little freak show, a little bit for everything. You got to feed the freaks out there, Reg.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you're right.
Sheldon Jackson says Mustafa Ali has just debuted with a promo for NJPW and challenged Hiromu Takahashi to a match at Windy City Riot. Dude, he's freaking everywhere. Yeah. He's freaking everywhere.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I think that's a really good pickup for them and a sign of things to come, baby.
Hell yeah. MD says Denise likes the freak shows.
That's true.
Let's go. Let's go. I do love that stuff. All right. We got to get into the opening match. And this was the Knockouts Ultimate X match. This was freaking cool, man. All of these girls freaking killed it. Giselle Shaw gets the victory. But I need to highlight two people specifically in this match that most impressed me. The first one was Dani Luna. Now, I had not seen her work. I hadn't seen like a couple of these girls that I wasn't as familiar with, but Dani Luna was one of the ones that I wasn't as familiar with. And I thought she went out there. She kind of had like the Jordynne Grace spots of this match. She was going out there and showing like just showing how strong she was. Like, I didn't realize how strong she was and how much more, you know, like stronger she looked compared to some of the other girls. So I was kind of blown away by her. I thought she did so good. She was kind of like a key person in the entire matchup where I kind of felt like there was other people that we really didn't see too much of. Right. And like, that was actually my only thing, like Giselle Shaw, we only really got like one spot with Giselle. So I was kind of a little bit bummed when the ending happened because I didn't think the ending was that good. I loved the entire matchup, but I thought that the ending kind of felt a little flat because I just thought it was going to be like a more creative, I don't know, just something a little bit more that felt like, oh my God, like this really is the finish to the match. And I guess for me, it sort of felt a little bit abrupt. So I was kind of a little bit bummed when the finish actually happened, but I just wanted to see a little bit more. I didn't want this match to be over essentially, but Dani Luna was one person that just really impressed me. And the other person was Jody Threat. I thought Jody Threat, like she has like Luna Vachon vibes, and that's like a compliment because Luna Vachon was crazy awesome. And Jody Threat has those vibes. Like she went out there and she's like this mad woman. And at one point, like she picks up two of the girls and just like tosses them. I thought that was freaking cool. F5. Really freaking cool, man. And then Ziya Brookside, she ended up getting signed by Impact Wrestling. I thought she also looked pretty good in this matchup too. But I think I would have liked to see a little bit more from, I felt like it was more so like half of the girls that we saw do a little bit more than maybe the other half.
Yeah, this probably match also probably could have used like 5 more minutes. Cause like you're saying, by the finish, it was like, okay, I think I needed a little bit more there, but I understand what was going on. I thought there were some strong spots in this match. Jody Threat was also a standout for me. Her hitting that double F5 was awesome. I've never even seen anybody do anything like that. And her just kind of like chaotic vibe of running around the ring and just getting it done. Really strong stuff. All the women hitting the spots off the turnbuckle, I thought was dope. Tasha Steele's hitting the cutter off of the onto the women. Really strong stuff. Yeah, I thought it was kind of like that though. There was a point where it was like half of the women would be gone for like a lot of the match. And then like, where they at? They never came back. And it's because like in multi people matches like this, you always have to build like that And sometimes people have to take the back seat. And it felt like Gisele took the back seat just a little bit too much, considering she was going to be the winner of the match. Like, they could have put a little bit more focus on her into the match, knowing that she's going to get the win. And it the finish probably would have hit a little bit harder in that situation, because it felt like, okay, like, Dani Luna was incredible. She was catching people out of the sky and shit, power bombing people, doing all this awesome stuff. And then it was like, all right, that I understand why the finish happened, because Gisele Shaw is a big part of the Knockouts division and actually kind of makes sense. But it just felt a little bit flat.
Right. So that's where, like, I think that the based on the way that the match was worked and based on the moments that we had, you would have thought that Dani Luna might have won this.
Right.
Right. So that's kind of how I felt too. I wish that because Gisele won, that they would have done more big moments. There was the one where she, like, I forgot whose back she, like, stepped on and just leaped over. Mm-hmm. That was kind of sick too. That was that was really it. Like, there wasn't really any other big moment that involved her in it. So I was kind of like, oh, okay. So I just felt like the ending could have been a little bit stronger, as well as just like the overall moments for the actual winner. So that was the main card. Did you get to watch the pre-show?
Listen, TNA, you guys are starting out on a wild foot, you guys. You put the pre-show, everybody knows, pre-show, free show. But you put your pre-show on your streaming service, and half of the people are watching it on Fight or Thriller. So why would, and then they can't log on to watch. So you got hella people trying to watch your show, and none of us could watch it because we're not watching the show on your streaming service. Also, you probably should have told everybody that before, because I saw a bunch of the YouTube subscribers being like, we usually come here to watch the show and nobody's watching.
I went to YouTube.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I went to YouTube and I couldn't find it there. And then I was arguing with my husband over this, because we were like, I told him, because it was around 4 o'clock, right? And he's all like, oh, I asked him, like, oh, what time does the pre-show start? Because sometimes pre-shows start an hour in advance, sometimes a half hour in advance. And he's like, oh, it starts now. And he's all like, oh, it's not on YouTube. And I was like, that's because it starts at 4:30. He's like, no, Denise, they're already posting GIFs on the social media account. And I was like, are you sure? Like, I think you're wrong. So we had a whole argument about whether or not the pre-show had started. And then he's all, okay, I'm going to go to Impact Plus. So then he goes to Impact Plus. And then we didn't see it there either. And so we went back to Twitter to read the comments, and people were like, oh, it's on Impact Plus. So then we went back to Impact Plus to, or TNA Plus, whatever the fuck they're calling it now. And then we finally found it. So I missed the Steve Maclin, Rich Swann match. But I did get to watch a little bit of the tag team match. I think I got in like halfway towards the end. I did get to watch Crazy Steve and Tommy Dreamer. I really enjoyed that. And then I also really enjoyed the Joe Hendry Dollar thing. Did you happen to see the video?
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty good. My guy Joe Hendry fried his ass pretty good. But then I like what Dollar and DJ Who Kid did to him. Beat his ass, choke slammed him, talks a lot of shit. Thought it was a pretty strong little angle that they did.
Yeah, I liked it, because at first I was like, oh, we're going to have to sit through a music video. Yeah. Like, I don't want to do that. Like,
even as somebody who's a rapper and does hip hop, I was like, this is not going to work. Like, I know when there's times for to do music, and this was not the time, but I see what they did.
Yeah, I ended up liking what they did a whole lot. I thought Joe Hendry with the video roasting Top Dollar was hilarious, when he was like, you tried to make it in the NFL and then you tried to do a dive and you failed, something like that. It was really hilarious. It was awesome. The Cheez-It champion.
Yeah. And I was like, damn, Dollar got to get his lick back, because he's getting fried, but he got his lick back.
Yeah, he cooked him good, like Shelton Mysterio here says. But there you go. That was Hard to Kill TNA Wrestling. I guess overall, Reg, two questions. One, do you think that they succeeded with this show? Do you thought it was a good show? Like, what'd you think? Did you think they got the job done? And my second question to you is, what was match of the night?
Yeah, I think with the buzz kind of coming out of it, like, Nick wasn't the hugest name, like they said, but I still think it's a great acquisition for them, including Ash De Elegance. What's her name? I keep forgetting.
Ash By Elegance.
Ash By Elegance. I think those are some big pickups. Match of the night was either the tag match or the main event. But I think I'll pick the tag match, just because I like the final stretch of it was really good.
For me, it was the main event. Just like the overall story, I love that. But my second favorite match, though, was the the freaking X Division one, the Triple Threat. I thought that one was really great too. But the main event definitely took the cake for me. And then overall, I thought it was a good show, man. I really miss, like, I hate that TNA changed a couple months ago, or maybe it's been a year now. I don't know how long now it's been, but I hate that they changed their shows to Fridays, because I used to get to cover them when they were on Saturdays. I used to get to cover their pay-per-views, but when they changed to Fridays, I'm like, all right, well, now I'm watching SmackDown, so I can't watch these shows. So I feel like the Saturday shows for me are just a lot better, and I hate that I can't watch their shows on Saturdays. I prefer the Saturday shows.
I think with probably with Collision and stuff like that, it's probably, and with like how much wrestling is on Friday, Saturdays, they're probably trying to beat the traffic of wrestling on a Saturday night. But I mean, it's just for wrestling fans, Saturday night's just so much easier to watch wrestling. You know what I mean?
Especially a pay-per-view, especially a pay-per-view. Alrighty, before we go, everybody, just a heads up to everyone, the next round of shows that is happening next week, I will be back on Tuesday to talk about NXT. Wednesday, Reg and I will be here to talk about AEW Dynamite. Friday, I will be here to talk about SmackDown. And then we got, of course, Saturday Collision and just a bunch of other stuff that's going to be happening pretty much in between. I'll see what content's going up and whatnot. It was a very busy week on this channel. I dropped interviews with Kushida, with Will Ospreay, with a couple of other people. So make sure to check that stuff out too. Also, before we go, guys, I know I'm super annoying about this, but if you guys leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please do. If you enjoy any of the podcasts, if you enjoy any of the interviews, it really, really helps out a whole lot. So please do. It would mean a lot to me. The links are in the description box below, or you can just open up the apps and just search up Denise Salcedo, Instinct Culture by Denise Salcedo, and you guys will find it there. Reg, where can the people show you some love?
You can show me some love at Righteous Reg on all your social media accounts. Every Wednesday, I'm on with Denise on the AEW Dynamite post show. Also on with Mike on Indeed. Every Thursday, I'm on with Kate on the Ring of Honor post show. Every other Thursday is Ask Grapsity. Every Saturday, it's Grapsity Podcast with Philip Lindsay. And you can find me everywhere in the world that you also want to. Shout out to you guys for showing up. There's a lot of wrestling on, the 300 or so people of you that came through. Really cool.
Yeah, seriously. I was like, damn, this is a busy night. People got some choices to make. So thank you so much to everybody who tuned in to the post show. We appreciate you so very much. All right. Until next time, thank you guys so much for watching. We'll catch you later.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.